Now, at the end of the war, because this, a lot of this stuff started during the war, at the end of the war, oh, and everybody that was there was not in the military, except Phil. My mother said, now they had four boys. He was with the Air Force, and that's why they kind of picked up that place, so they'd come from Alberta. But I don't ever remember seeing him in a uniform. So at the end of the war, because you asked me how it was, okay, so now we've got this lot is, or yeah, this lot is sold. This was a double lot. And so they were going to build a house, and so they started with the garage, and then they moved on. So the next people bought what, in essence, was the garage and made a house out of it for years. This fellow, because this is our house, he was in the Navy. So he was Air Force, he was Navy. Over here, he was also Navy. Let's see. He was in, I think he was in the Army. All these people started coming in. Now they could buy, you know, through, I guess, the Veterans Land Act, they could buy it. Over here, there were, this, all of Maitland here had been bush. And we would play in there. All of a sudden, we couldn't anymore because there were all these upheavals. They were, you know, and sometimes it took a long time for them to be built. I mean, it's kind of interesting. So that's when the great influx. So it became very clear that Kingsway West School wasn't going to do it for us. So that's when they built Marlborough School in, I think it opened, just a minute, about 50 or 51. I'd have to go back and look at all the pictures. But we then, actually only went from grades 1 to 4. And then we went back up to Kingsway West for grade 6, and then they closed it completely, and we came back to a grade, I did, because some of the kids, Kingsway became the dividing line, and so they went to Nelson, and then those of us on the north side, we were Kingsway West.
So other than simply more numbers in the area with this post-war influx and then lots being built upon, did it change the character of this community, which sounded fairly...
No, we just
brought them in.
Yeah, we just... Well, and now the Pauls, by this point, were very aged, so they probably weren't as much. The Aldersons... And I think a lot had to do with the age of the children. The Aldersons' children were older. So you look at my birthday party pictures, and you're not looking at just Betty and my cousins, because Betty was down here. Mm-hmm. You're looking at all these other kids. It's a bigger party, you know? Oh, and one of the houses, this fellow would come, and he would... build a house, they would live there, build while he was building the house, sell it, and he'd move on. So, you know, it was, and all those people, about one of the things that's really interesting, and you're too young to know about this, that everything was delivered. So we had Drake Dairy, and they, in those days, they brought the milk with a horse-drawn cart because of the war. We had, well, Fordyce came by with the bread twice a week. We had a fish man, and he actually delivered, he was an elderly Chinese man. He had delivered to my grandmother. My mother would buy from him unless it was really hot, and then she'd only buy kippers. And then one day he didn't come, and my mother said, oh, he must have either gotten very sick or died, because he was old. I remember he was very old. And we had the Chinese grocer came in his... van. I don't remember him having a horse drawn. I think I just remember the van. And everybody would come to the back door. Come to the back door and knock on the door, and my mom would say, come and sit down, and they would discuss what she was going to have. And I was never to say Japanese oranges. I was to say Mandarin, because this fellow had a family back in China. It was during the war. So that the, what was the other thing? Oh, the Metropolitan Life man. He sold insurance, and he came by really frequently, and he would sit in the living room. That was the only man, because he came in a suit, and he had this huge book, and you'd pay, this was your life insurance policy, and this is how you'd bury your dead. And I think it was 50 cents. Now, I can't remember if it was every week or every month. I thought he was there all the time. Anyhow, he would say to my mother, you know, something like, Mrs. Wilding isn't well. So my mother would trot over. And that's the little communication that would go on in the neighborhood. Or Fordyce might say it. He said, you know, he says, I don't think Mrs. So-and-so is well. And so people like my mother would go around and take care of them. and that where there was a real community spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, not as much on this street, because we only knew a couple of people there, the Rochon, while they were right behind us. And then the McDonald's lived over here. See, and remember that the until the end of the war, until, say, 46, 47, none of these people went to war. And so they were, like, my father was frozen to his job. You heard of that term?
No, no, I haven't.
So I have a little slip of paper, and it says, if you wish to change your employment, you will check with the war measures or whatever it is, office beforehand. In other words, you're not moving anywhere. Because now, one of the fellows behind, he worked for a foundry. Okay, it's making, that's essential work. My father was a machinist who was working for Brunette Machine Works, who were keeping the machinery going to make the plywood to make the planes. So he couldn't leave his job. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was these were all essential jobs.
Right.
Let's get back to my Uncle Fred wanted to be a minister. The family was very, except for my dad, everybody was very involved with, well, it was first of all a congregational church, I think. I'm not sure. I know Henderson, but then it didn't become a United Church until 1925, mm-hmm. of course. So anyhow, so then it became West Burnaby United. And so my uncle was trying to work to get the money to go, and he went to Columbia College.
Oh, really?
But there was not enough money for him to continue. So he went to work for, I think it was BC Hydro to begin with. And they promoted someone else ahead of him, and he got so angry that he then went to work for the Y. And he worked for the Y in Vancouver and the Y in New Westminster. And then the Y said, oh, no. So he must have had 2 years of college. Mm-hmm. They said, no, we want you with a degree. But he did get a job with Metropolitan United in Victoria. Mm. And from that, his youth work began. And so at some point in 1936, he went up to help with a camp up in the Kootenays called Killary. And so they liked him so well. They found him a job in the office at Cominco in Trail. And the idea was that there was a Catholic element to the community, and they had mm-hmm. their, I think it's Our Lady of Lourdes camp. Mm-hmm. They wanted to have a Protestant camp. So for 60 years, he was the director of that camp. Mm. And so, and then he went, so he had all this, he has a lot of things in background, took leadership courses mm-hmm. and what have you. And when he died, he was 99. And, you know, I thought he and his wife didn't have children, but he had thousands of campers. Mm-hmm. And I mm-hmm. couldn't believe the things that were being said. Somebody came, and I mean, I didn't know half, a lot of these people. And he said, you know, at camp, he said, I think you could run the newspaper this week. And he said, that's why I became a reporter. And apparently he was like a foreign correspondent for something. Mm. And I was told after, you mm-hmm. know, this guy's really good. And everybody that he touched was so affected by him. Unbelievable. We tried to get him an order of BC, but for some reason they didn't feel it was important. But mm-hmm. when I think of what the order of BC is, he was a man who really, really enjoyed, you know, and deserved it. Right. And yeah, so he lived there all those years, and he was in Camp Borden during the war, and then he came back and he married a woman that he had met who was working at, which United Church was it? She was, she was, you know, long roots in the United Church, and then they moved up to Trail. And when my aunt died, somebody said, you know, that there were 85 jobs in the church that she did. Some of them were just maybe one-day mm-hmm. jobs. But she was as dedicated in her work as he was to the camp. She worked with the camp, too, mm-hmm. you know. But she did the visiting for people. She did the little, you know, all these, you know, the treasurer of this and the treasurer of that. And, you know, she was an incredible woman as well.